Digital Arena on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast World Cup coverage.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, July 13th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all your channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The Final Four of the 2026 World Cup is finally here. And join us today, who has a birthday, Andrew Evans. Welcome back to the Sportscast. And happy birthday.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What a weekend. Quarterfinals were great. England met expectations. A lot of drama with Argentina still. Some drama with England, Norway. And of course, Spain going through probably not say the easiest, but France and Spain had it easier than England and Argentina. But let's first start off with the game of the weekend, I think, according to Andrew. Andrew vanquished Norway 2-1 on Saturday behind the strength of Jude Bellingham's brace. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it was the best game. It was just hyper tense, wasn't it? It was a strange one, really. I don't think Norway deserved to lose, you know? It's like, yeah, just England just slightly overpowered him, I guess. It was just really fine margins. But obviously, the moments of Bellingham's goals were the moments of difference, really. And I think Norway, probably the side of Haaland going off, probably surprised a lot of people. That was a bold move because I think the guy they brought on is Strand Larsen, pretty good forward as well. They were just probably just looking for that moment. And I think Haaland was pretty done. I think he was tired. It was just a strange game all the way through. Very hard to watch. A bit like the last one against Mexico. I felt like England played better in the Mexico game. They were just a little smarter. I feel like in this game they made quite a lot of mistakes that Norway could have on another day taken advantage of, and it could have been very different. But again, we talked about it last week. It's England. This is not the England of the last 40 years. The mental toughness seems to be there now, and I've always felt like that's the thing. They've not believed in themselves at key moments, but this team seems to. And you know, a lot of credit goes to Tuchel.
Yeah, I don't want to stay with this. You know, England has made it to the past two, three semifinals of a World Cup and Euros. How do you see this team different compared to the other teams in the past?
Yeah, I think it's mental toughness. I think the quality, there's a lot of quality there, but perhaps not proven. You know, they haven't had as much experience in top games, but obviously Kane, Bellingham have. They've had a lot of experience. The other ones, They're solid. When I saw some of the subs coming on, and I don't think any of them were, you know, I want to see a bit more from Eze when he comes in because I do rate him a lot. But, you know, they were competent. They were careful. They didn't make mistakes. They were quite good in possession. And they all played their part in Reece James again in carrying it forward. I don't think it's the golden generation that we used to talk about, or even I think Southgate had the best England team of my lifetime and he couldn't get it done. I think this team's just slightly lower than that team, but it's mainly because there's not as much experience. He's taken quite a lot of players without a ton of experience that he obviously just really believes in. And so far so good. You can hardly fault it. I think the test will be the semi. I feel like England should win. I don't think they'll win the final, but who knows, on a one-off. So I think success would be getting to the final. It would be a major successful tournament for England if they get to the final.
We'll get to that Argentina game a little bit later. Let's go and stick with this one. The first goal came from Andres Sverdrup, scored in 36th minute for Norway for the first goal. It was a volley goal that I thought was going to go to Haaland, but it was a really good goal that went over the
keeper. I think it was a cross.
Yes, it was a cross, but it went inside the net.
Zlatan said it was a cross. Some people were saying it wasn't. I think it was definitely a cross. Yeah, I mean, it just went in the perfect spot. So it was a great goal in that sense. But I don't believe he was meaning it. But that can happen, you know. He put it in a nice spot. It just went. It drifted a little bit further to the left and top corner. Yeah, it's strange, wasn't it? Because Norway didn't do anything in the first sort of quarter of the game. They just sat back and stayed in their banks of four. And but then right after the drinks break, they were really on top of England.
That hydration break does help teams out to make some changes, don't
they? Seems to, yeah. Well, I think in games, you often just see your target minutes, you know, especially if you know you're going to have to defend a lot. So you try to get to a certain point in the game. Good defensive teams have done that. But Norway kind of started like that. I think it was definitely part of that plan.
Quite something. Then a little bit later, Banham beat Orjan Nagyon with a low shot to the far post to equalize the match. But there was an issue with this goal. Norway's complaining that the ball hit the camera cable.
Yeah.
And then brought the ball a little bit closer to an England player down. And FIFA denied that happened. But it was a goal. Your thoughts over this situation?
Well, I think the strict interpretation of the law is that he should have stopped play. But if he didn't see it, and to be honest, what actual difference does it make to the move? You'd be taking away one of the goals of the World Cup. I think it was an unbelievable piece of work by Bellingham. What he did there was just world class. I mean, if Messi had done that, we'd be talking about it more, I'm sure. I just thought his whole picking up the ball, cutting inside, and the finish was just absolutely buried it. That's still a lot of work after hitting a cable. So I think it would have been a bit of a farce if they disallowed it. But I mean, I think the strict enforcement of the law would say, yeah, you've actually got to stop play.
And of course, the ball chip. There is a chip in the ball for this year's World Cup, and FIFA said that it would have detected it in the chip, but did not.
So, oh, okay.
Quite
yeah.
Something.
I heard, I could see their coach was pretty frustrated. I don't know if you saw his, when he kicked that bottle, did you see that?
Yes, I saw that. I'm not sure because of the ball hitting the cable or not was the problem.
Well, I think he was probably mad just about conceding before halftime, but it was funny because it went right through the guy's leg sitting on the bench. If it had hit him, it probably caused some damage.
quite something. And then a little bit later, actually, Norway nearly went ahead 2-1 in the 56th minute when Torbjørn Heggem put a rebound past goalkeeper Jordan Pickford after a corner kick. But following review, the goal was disallowed because of a foul by Haaland in the box.
I thought that was the correct call. I mean, it was hard to deny. He just shoved him. I mean, yeah. So because it happened before the corner was actually kicked, they got to take the corner again. At that point, I was pretty nervous. I thought that Norway were really getting on top of England at that point, and I was concerned with the set pieces. But I think it's the right call. If that had gone against England, it's hard to argue with because he pretty much shoves him. And we see a lot of those not given, so that's the confusing thing. They should all be given, you know. It's a foul.
Yeah, quite something. Well, it was not 2-1. It stayed at 1-1. Then in the third minute, so the game went to extra time. It was 1-1. Jude Bellingham scored in the third minute of extra time to lift England past Norway 2-1. How'd you feel about that moment?
That was probably, I believe then, I think at that moment I was, because I wasn't sure, I was concerned about penalties for obvious reasons. At best it's 50-50, at worst it's England's history in penalties. So that moment I think was where I really started to think, was it the halfway point of extra time where they took off Haaland?
It was a second half of extra time.
And then there was that moment, I can't remember when that was, when the guy had, you know, they were 2-on-1, He just needed to put it through to Haaland. I can't remember if that was the second half of the game.
Or yes, that was a big discussion on X that the player did not pass to Haaland. He was wide open.
Yeah.
So,
was that in the second half or in extra time? I can't remember now.
I don't remember. I think it might have been regulation time.
I think it was. Well, that was the moment of the game. If you want to say where the game was decided, I think it was more on that than anything else because, you know, Haaland's going to bury that chance. So, but England just kept having resolve. It was a strange game. I know Tuchel went pretty hard against them after the game, and I think that's fair because I don't think England played all that well. But the fact that they stayed in games and they've got game changers like Bellingham and Kane, it puts them in a good position.
Do you think the Mexico match was a help? Was like a huge boost for this one?
Massive, because I think what they had to do in that game was more about the elevation. I feel like this game was the heat, and sitting at home, I don't think we could quite see the impact the heat was going to have. It was very, I think it was the second hottest game in the entire tournament for anyone. I don't know what the number one was, but that's a huge impact, and for both teams, to be fair. But I think that was going to take away from this game all the time. So, you know, that it won't be an issue in the Atlanta game. It will be in the final, probably. But Miami, I mean, you live down that way. You know, how intense it gets.
It's very, very hot. And also what helped England, actually, Tuchel, when they first landed to the United States, they were training up in West Palm Beach. Mm. Tuchel wanted to get England used to the heat.
Yeah.
And Norway did not train in Florida at all.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I mean, again, watching it, you're not watching it thinking, oh, well, this game. But if you think about it, it really was an issue because that's probably why Norway spent half the game on the back foot, just letting England come at them because they were trying to conserve energy. Yeah, it's another level when it's close to 100 and the humidity. So
quite something. Well, anyway, the fans survived. I saw some England fans in Miami earlier that day and they were sweating like crazy. Anyways, another controversial game. I don't know. Maybe Andrew might think it is. Argentina outlasted Switzerland 3-1 in extra time of a cagey quarterfinal match. The first goal came from Alexis McAllister that made it 1-0. And then Switzerland tied it up in the 67th minute by a goal by Ndoye. And then it went to extra time, second extra time of that day. Julian Alvarez scored in the 112th, and then Lautaro scored 120th to give the insurance policy as Argentina beat Switzerland 3-1. What's your opinion over this match?
Quite a game. I didn't catch most of the first half. I started watching it at around an hour, and I was impressed with Switzerland. They were really going for it, and then they scored. And at that moment, I actually thought, are we about to get, would it be the shock of the tournament? I think it would be a shock. Switzerland was just getting way on top of Argentina. And Argentina looked very, very flat to me. I don't know what was going on. I'm sure the atmosphere was great, but even the stadium seemed quiet for an Argentina game. And then the moment here is obviously that red card. It just completely changes the game. And what a self-inflicted wound for Switzerland. I know there's controversy about it. Not to me. I think it was very clear. The more I watch it, the worse it gets on the player. He doesn't only go down, he rolls. You remember all those Neymar memes about 8 years ago? It looks awful. And I'm just thinking, what are you doing? But I think this is so in the psyche of players that it's a very difficult change for them to make for this tournament. Oh, I think there's only been one other, which was Almiron against the US. I think it's the right decision, but I know it's harsh in terms of he's probably in the moment, he's just thinking about gaining an advantage.
Yeah, it happened in the US game with Tim Ream. I'm not sure if it was the Paraguay match or
it was Almiron, yeah. I went back and looked.
Quite something. Everyone's asking what play was that? Well, Mbolo had a yellow card, second yellow card for match for simulation. Yeah. And the referee initially booked Argentina's Leandro Paredes, but VAR intervened to review for mistaken identity, overturning the booking and cautioning Mbolo instead. Is this rule good, Andrew? Because it was implemented just for this World Cup, but his cause.
I love it. I love it.
Turnovers here.
I love it. I've never been able to defend simulation. I think simulation is the worst thing, one of the worst things in the game. I can't stand simulation. So whatever it does, it's cheating, and you're not only trying to gain an advantage like a free kick, you're also trying to penalize another player and get them. I just think it's wrong, and it's got no place in soccer. We've allowed it to fester. Now it seems harsh because they're bringing down the hammer, but I like it. I know this cost Switzerland, and I feel bad for that, but you've got to start somewhere. They knew this. They knew this. And it's just, there's no contact, Santi. He just goes down and then he rolls. What is he doing? You know, somebody was saying that the same thing should have been happened to Spence in the England game. I don't think so, because I think with Spence, there's contact. He kind of creates the contact, but I don't think that was a simulation in the same way. This clearly was a simulation. There's not even contact. So it's tough. It happens. You know, they've only brought it in for this tournament, but they've had time. They've had time to figure it out. And it changes the game. I do accept that.
Yeah, quite something. Which that leads to this game, Argentina versus England semifinal. A lot of history here. Now, England's went through their Mexico curse or drama, beating Mexico, obviously beating their past demons of Diego Maradona. Now they face the actual team, Argentina and Atlanta. Just to have clarity here, in the past World Cup, obviously Maradona beat England 2-1 with the hand of God and another cool, probably one of the best goals in the World Cup. And then, of course, the drama in 1998 with Diego Simeone and David Beckham, the red card there sending off. And then they had a rematch in 2002, but England won that one in a penalty.
Yeah.
What does this game mean to you? This is one of the best intercontinental rivalries. Argentina had the awesome Netherlands as well, but England is probably one of the biggest. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, I think England versus Brazil, England versus Argentina is probably bigger just because of the history you've described. I think they're great footballing nations, and two of the most passionate footballing nations out there. There's a history. They've always been good. They've actually always been pretty good games. And there's a mixed bag. I mean, England actually won the last one, you know, with that Beckham penalty in the group. And that actually put Argentina went out in the group stage, that World Cup. So it's not just I know it wasn't a knockout game, but it's still like, and I think each one of these is different. Like, they've been played in different generations with different sets of players. I mean, they actually had a pretty controversial game in 66, the quarterfinal, where there was a red card for Argentina. But all the games have been different teams. I think it will play out differently. Yes, it's been a great history, but I don't think it'll have any impact on this game. Look, England have got to stop Messi. It's a massive, massive job in itself. But Argentina aren't playing well. They've scored 9 goals in 3 games, and they haven't been playing well. It's a very such.
A top 15 team.
They haven't played a top team. That's another point. But watching them the other day, I was like, look, if England lose this game, it's on them. You know, unless there's just a really awful call, you don't want it to come down to that, like a bad call.
Well, that's the thing, Andrew. The calls have been going for Argentina all these past matches. Is that something you're worried about?
Well, that's what everyone's talking about. I feel like the one call that I didn't like that they got was the first game. I think Messi probably should have got a red card in that game. And that set the tone. Now, I just described, I think the Switzerland decision was correct. The Egypt, it was a foul, but the goal has moved so far. That goal to me should have been given. I was surprised. So they got the benefit there. But I'm not into the conspiracies. I mean, yeah, I do think they want to have the top players playing to the end. But look, this is on England. England needs to go out there. They have nothing to fear. I think actually at the moment, in my mind, they're slight favorites. Because I just don't think Argentina's playing that well. I think Messi's incredible. I think Lisandro Martinez has had an excellent World Cup. Yeah, Alcaraz, good goal. Alvarez, I'm sorry. He's played okay. I just don't think that they're playing that well. They get going for 10 minutes when, you know, against 10 men in this game. Against Egypt, that was pretty amazing. But they struggled against Cape Verde. So I think England are going to prevail.
Quite something. Here's an interesting fact. Lionel Messi has never played against England.
That is nuts. That is crazy.
Out of its 20-year career, he has never played against England. There was a friendly. He came in for a few minutes in 05, but I don't want to.
I think
really
that,
count
was a,
that
there was a 3-2 friendly game that gets talked about a lot because that was pretty exciting. I think England was 2 down with a couple of minutes left and they scored 2. I don't know if that was that game. Maybe it was. I feel like I don't know what year that game was.
I think it was a 3-2 2005. Messi only played for a few minutes. He came out of the
it could have been
bench. So
I mean. Switzerland didn't do a bad job on Messi, I felt like. I mean, yeah, he had a moment here and there for obviously free kicks. That's the thing England can't be giving away too many of. I just feel like Tuchel will be well prepared for it, you know? If it was Messi and like three other guys are also on fire right now for Argentina, I'd be more concerned.
Which there hasn't been anyone besides Messi.
I don't
Messi.
Feel like there has been, has there, you know?
The closest McAllister, but...
Yeah, and a lot of these, a lot of their team... plays in England or has, so you know there's players who could step up. I just if Argentina find their best form in the tournament and beat England, then fair play, you know. But the way it's been going, I feel like England can do this, like in the similar way that they did the last two games.
What do you think England should do? Should they score early?
Oh, always, yeah. I mean, that would actually help a lot. Have them chase the game, and I think maybe that'll be the thought that they can then pick the holes. Because has Argentina defended well in this tournament? I don't think so, really. Not great.
Not the best.
But they'll have to come at them if England score first. So, but then England have been behind in the last two games. So even if Argentina score first, I don't know. I hope it isn't a tight game, and I definitely hope it doesn't go to penalties.
Penalties is 50-50, as always.
But doesn't it feel a little bit like Argentina is stumbling along? I know.
They're grinding it out. It feels like the 1990 World Cup where they just skated through. Like, they went through penalties. They barely beat Brazil 1-0. Mm. You know, they were just hagging the team around. Maradona was not 100% fit. I remember that World Cup.
Yeah.
I studied that World Cup really well, by the way.
Well, and then you've got think about Brazil in 98. You know, they kind of just got through. They were a good team. And then the final, they just didn't show up. So, yeah, Argentina 90 is also a good example.
Norway beat Brazil in that World Cup.
Which World Cup?
In France, 1998.
Yeah.
Norway and Brazil have some history.
Yeah. Norway.
Both teams.
Yeah,
and England Argentina has history. So anyways, we'll find out the prediction a little bit later in the show. I want to touch on Spain defeating Belgium 2-1, and another late goal from Mikel Merino, a Arsenal guy. Belgium did switch out their goalkeeper to break Courtois for
Lamens,
who plays for Man United.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him because I thought he had a really good season at United last year, and then he makes a mistake when he comes on. Well, you know, similar to the Norway keeper, just parries it into the goal scorer, doesn't he, really?
Yeah. So Spain, have they been playing well? You think they're a legit team? I mean, they're the only
are a legit team. I don't think they're playing, setting the whole thing alight. A bit like past teams, they can eke out 1-0s. They're not scoring free scoring, but their defense is pretty amazing. I mean, Belgium did score on them, and Belgium played pretty well, I thought, in this game.
Yeah, this guy, De Keltere, oh my gosh, this guy scored against the U.S. and Spain. So I'm sure he's getting some offers in Europe somewhere else.
But who's the biggest test that probably France don't want is probably Spain.
Spain is the only team that can stop France.
I feel like that. So I'm glad this game is happening. But then again, I don't fancy playing either of them in the final. So I think this is your winner, unless something goes badly wrong for them in a game. Spain.
I have thought about that.
Control the ball so well.
I have thought about that, Andrew. Whoever wins this game, France versus Spain, will win the World Cup. I have thought about that. So that leads to my to our prediction segment. Who do you have? France versus Spain in Dallas?
Well, I don't know why I'm going for Spain. I know France is the popular choice. I just feel like they are the best. I think on paper they're the best team, but I just feel like they're going to have one off day. And not even an off day. They'll just find it hard to break Spain down. And I think this is Spain. I'm going 1-0 Spain.
1-0 Spain. Why? And I want to ask you this. How in the world did England did not get or recruit Michael Olise to their team?
So I don't know the story there. He's born in London, right?
Correct. I think mom's French.
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes with these guys, there is just a strong preference, isn't there, that's in them.
Yeah.
They feel a certain. And so there's a lot more of that nowadays. Because, like, if you think World Cup's back in, they were pretty much, your whole team was born in the country. Maybe a couple of exceptions. But it's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Now you've seen a lot of people that grew up in Paris or born in Paris now play for Morocco or, like, Ivory Coast. You've seen, I think there's 52 players that were born in Paris.
Well, there's a ton of French players could also play for African countries.
Correct.
So
Morocco, Algeria.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
So quite a decision. All right. So you got 1-0 Spain. I'm going to say Spain too, 1-0. 2-1, 1-0. It feels like, because Spain has beat them in the past. They beat them in the Euros. It's in the finals. France did beat Spain in the Nations League in 2024. But I think Spain has the defense, as you say.
Yeah.
So, and I trust Spain's defense and Argentina's defense. So, all right. Yeah. Leads us to this game in Atlanta, which Andrew's very familiar with. England versus Argentina in a dome. Heat won't be an issue. But for some reason, I think a call will go towards Argentina for some reason. Who do you think will win?
I'm going England 2-1.
England 2-1. Jude Bellingham scores.
Maybe. I don't know on scores. I think Kane will score.
I think the difference between the past England teams in the past 6 years is Jude Bellingham. I think he's he's the spark.
Yeah. He's the icing on the cake. I mean, you sometimes don't notice him so much in the game, but he's just there for those moments, you know, he's stepping up. He is. He's probably the strongest player we've had in that position since Bobby Charlton or something like that. So,
yeah. Well, they're comparing Bobby Charlton to Harry Kane or Harry Kane to Bobby Charlton. But yeah, Jude Bellingham went through the Birmingham City.
Yeah.
Academy.
I don't know did he ever play for them?
I don't know. Sure. And then went to Dortmund. Real Madrid saw him, picked him up, right behind Mbappe. I got Argentina 3-1. They've been scoring three goals in the past couple of games. Andrew, I'm going to say 3-1, 3-2.
I mean, I just don't know if this England team is going to lose big like that, but Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I could see it going 2-1 their way. I don't know. I just think England have eked out results a little bit when they've not been by the very best.
Argentina's been eking out results.
Argentina has also been eking out results. That's true. But they sort of do play really well for 10, 15 minutes. But I think Switzerland were just exhausted and 10 men. I kind of feel that was not the same as the Egypt game. The Egypt game really was. They found a level. But they do have a belief, don't they, that they're going to eventually. Switzerland defended really well until that second goal.
Do you think Bukayo's Saka should start rather than Madueke?
Who should start?
Bukayo's Saka.
Saka. I don't know. I'm having a hard time figuring that one out. Saka for me has really lost pace. He doesn't have the pace of
He's a long season.
Still, I thought he did fine when he came on, and he's still got great control and was. But he's just not. It's not the speed that he had. For me, Madueke hasn't been quite good enough to start. So I guess I would have Saka starting. I think I still watch out for Eze. I think Eze's got a moment.
It is good.
Yeah, he did a good job. He was careful in that game on Saturday, but he's got a moment in him. So,
well,
I think there'll be something out of the blue that's not happened yet in this World Cup. Maybe I think a scorer for England who we've not spoken much about yet.
And who is that?
I don't know. It could be Eze, but he'd probably come on as a sub, wouldn't he?
I bet you're thinking of Mr. Daniel Byrne.
Yeah, I think set pieces too. Our set pieces could have been better. I've been a little disappointed with them. So if Rice plays, gets the yellow, it doesn't count in the final, right? He can still play in the final.
Correct.
Yeah. I think he's a key player for England in this game.
There's still no Kwanzaa for this match.
Yeah. I think Liverpool. We're defending. We've been sort of rotating them in and out. I'm not sure he knows his best defense, but I think Stones has to start. I think he's been really good. I
haven't seen Marcus Rashford lately.
No, that might be a sort of wild card as well.
That could be Barcelona guy.
Yeah, later in the game.
Tell us a little bit about the new Burnley coach.
Donald, too much. I mean, I've obviously done better like everybody else. He's had he seems to be a coach that did the hard yards and then started to sort of find his way. And he's had two jobs in Belgium. He was managing Bruges, managed them to a title and a good run in the Champions League. And then he's gone in. I don't know why he lost his job the following season after they won the league, but seems to have a steady start at Genk. So probably one of the best coaches in Europe on paper that, you know, a championship club could attract. But he's saying all the right things. I think he's sounds like he works. His teams have to work very, very hard. Anything can happen because we're also losing a lot of squad players.
What tends to happen when we get relegated?
Yeah, but it's worse than ever because I think we're actually losing everyone we can make money out of. But the squad's going to be left of the squad is not going to be as strong as the last couple of relegations. So it's going to be tough. I think the fans have to be very patient. But they're in the US. They had a tie, against Columbus.
Columbus Crew.
Yeah, and he's letting a lot of the young academy players play, and they're doing pretty well. One of them got the tying goal on yesterday.
There you have it. If you need to talk to Andrew about championship football, he's your man. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or follow us at thesportscast1 on X and Instagram. We'll be live tweeting throughout these two semifinal games at 3 o'clock my time, 12 o'clock your time. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be on the East Coast to see it. So.
Oh, even better. Yeah. You know, like these put these times for the Europeans to watch it comfortably.
Yeah, no, I think in the early group games there was
midnight matches in my
time. Middle of the night games for people. Yeah, but
you can watch it easily.
If it's weekend, it's not a bad thing, is it? But I get up sometimes 4:30 to watch Burnley games, so it's
on Paramount Plus, of course.
Payback on Paramount Plus.
Well, anyways, Andrew, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Great to be here.
And this was your World Cup coverage.